Chapter 1. Owen. A cold wind gusts down from the mountains, howling through the forest and causing the trees to rustle. The wind carries with it the biting chill of winter, along with a faint scent of pine from the peaks. I note that more than a few leaves fall as the chilly air shakes them loose. Autumn has arrived in Tarsinium, replacing the dusky greens of the ashwood with pale yellows, reds, and oranges. Shivering, I pull my cloak more tightly around myself and turn to regard the grim host gathered in the clearing before me.
"Advisor Egbert Creed," Warden Quinn declares,
his voice carrying loud enough for everyone to hear.
"You have been found guilty of perjury, manipulation, and willfully ordering those beneath you to murder the innocent. Most egregious of all, you have been found in violation of the Ranger's oath. What have you to say for yourself, brother?"
Advisor Creed kneels on the grass with his hands bound behind his back, looking haggard and worn. His deep-set eyes have a haunted cast to them, and they dart around as if desperately searching for a way to escape.
"I was only following the will of our Master Warden. Any of you would have done the same?"
Tamara steps forward, eyeing the wiry man with contempt.
"Your quarters were searched, and we found stashes of gold and precious stones. You were bought, Creed, by the demon that was possessing the late Master Warden Thorn. Your lies will not bring you salvation."
Creed blanches at her words, his bent frame shrinking as his last defense is thoroughly crushed. He looks pleadingly from one warden to the other, tears welling up in his eyes.
"Please,"
he croaks, voice breaking. His defiance has completely vanished.
"I was weak. I didn't know that Thorn was being controlled by a demon. The money was too tempting. Please, give me another chance."
Warden Quinn shakes his head, his expression grim.
"I'm sorry, brother. Your crimes are unforgivable. By the authority of the wardens assembled here today, I sentence you to die. May the light have mercy on your soul."
I watch numbly as Creed begins to cry, his blubbering sobs making his words indistinct. The advisor is a conniving, greedy creature, but I do not relish watching him suffer. The sound of rasping steel fills the air as Quinn pulls his sword from its sheath. One of the rangers from the crowd brings forward a wooden log, dropping it to the grass with a thud, while a pair of men approach Creed from behind and pick him up, dragging him over to the makeshift chopping block. The sobbing dies out, replaced by panicked begging as the man pleads with the others to sentence him to exile instead. His words fall on deaf ears. The two rangers force him to his knees, bending his figure over the log with his neck outstretched. Creed tries to struggle against them, but it does no good. Warden Quinn approaches him from the side, his gleaming sword in hand.
"Our solemn duty is to protect the borders of the realms of men,"
he intones, face resigned,
"from those enemies who would seek our destruction. The wilderness shall be our homestead, the sun and stars our only hearth. We will sacrifice everything, even our very lives, for the defense of the kingdom, unto the death of those who would do us harm."
He raises the sword up, both hands gripping the hilt, and I can hear Creed's beseeching cries. I force myself not to look away.
"We are the watchers in the woods," Quinn continues gravely. "The arrows in the darkness. None shall pass by while we stand guard."
With that, he swings the sword down in a smooth, powerful motion. Creed's whimpers are abruptly cut off as the blade passes effortlessly through his neck, separating head from shoulders. Blood spurts out onto the grass like a fountain, and his head bounces to the ground, rolling end over end until finally coming to a stop several feet away, eyes staring sightlessly into the heavens. The crowd shuffles uneasily, whispered conversations rising as Warden Quinn steps away from the body. He pulls out a cloth and begins wiping the blood from his blade, his expression hard.
11 hells!" Talon mutters at my side. "They actually did it."
I tear my eyes away from the severed head, turning to regard my fellow apprentice.
"He broke the ranger's oath, Talon," I reply softly. "That's the price all oathbreakers must pay."
Talon visibly shudders.
"Still," he says, favoring his wounded arm, "I didn't think they'd actually go through with it."
I try not to let my unease show on my face, adopting the same stoic mask I've seen Elias wear so many times. Executions are not easy things to watch, especially when you are familiar with the condemned, but that's what separates the rangers from the ordinary folk. We don't blanch at the sight of death. The crowd breaks apart, filtering out of the clearing and back through the woods to the Grand Lodge. Talon and I stay behind, watching as the assembled wardens gather together, talking in hushed tones. The same pair of rangers who had held Creed down now work together to dispose of his corpse. One picks up the head by the hair, while the other drags the rest of the body out to the trees, no doubt to be left for the animals of the forest. I grimace and look away as Tamara breaks off from the other wardens, coming to approach Talon and me with a concerned look on her face. Her blonde hair is pulled over her shoulder in her usual braid, and her hand strays close to the sword on her hip. As always, she looks ready to do battle at a moment's notice.
"You too,"
she says stiffly, looking first at Talon, then at me.
"You should head back to the lodge. There are still plenty of chores that need to be done."
"We were waiting to speak to you, First Warden," Talon says. "Have you given any more thought as to who our new masters will be?"
Tamara sighs, fixing both of us with a frown.
"Not this again. I've already told you that we've been preoccupied with other matters. As soon as everything has been dealt with, we will discuss your training."
"I know," Talon replies, abashed. "It's just that we thought that with the,
you know, execution being done with, you'd have time to figure out what to do with us."
He awkwardly lowers his voice as he mentions the execution. Tamara gives him a flat look and folds her arms, causing her leather armor to creak.
"The execution was not the only thing we've been dealing with, Talon. The wardens have all been returning to the lodge over the past 2 weeks so that we can meet and choose a new master warden. Now that justice has been dealt with, it is time for us to convene. That meeting takes precedence over anything else, including the future training of a couple of apprentices. Enough chatter. Get yourselves back to the lodge and make yourselves useful. Understood?"
"Yes, First Warden,"
both of us reply, though Talon's tone is a bit sullen. She nods curtly, then turns on her heel, striding back to join the other wardens who are still talking quietly with one another.
"Thanks for that," I mutter to him sarcastically as we begin walking back to camp. "Real helpful, Talon."
"What?"
he replies, scratching his head in confusion.
"I thought you wanted to know what was going on with us."
I shake my head at his lack of self-awareness. "First of all, did you really think the best time to ask her was right after the execution? We just watched a man get his bloody head chopped off." He frowns, grunting.
"Fair point."
"Second of all," I continue, "you know full well that I'm not interested in finding another master. Elias is still my master, and he'll be coming to get me soon. The only reason I joined up with you and Shaw was because the First Warden deemed I do so for the time being until he returns."
Talon's frown deepens. "Mate, it's been more than a month since you've last heard from your master. Don't you think it's time to face the facts and move on?"
I stop dead in my tracks, rounding on him with vehemence in my voice.
"What facts are you talking about?"
Talon eyes me but does not back down.
"He's gone, Owen. Plain and simple. No ranger simply walks away from his apprentice. Either he's dead or he's wrapped up in something bad, something that would keep him from fulfilling his oath as a ranger."
I struggle to keep my anger in check as I clench and unclench my fists.
"Talon doesn't know Elias," I remind myself. "He's just trying to look out for my best interests."
I take a deep breath before responding, turning to continue down the path.
"He's not dead, Talon. I'm not sure what he's up to, but I know that it is for the good of the realm. He'll be coming for me soon."
I can feel it in my gut.
If you say so, he replies, though he doesn't sound convinced.
The forest around us is dark as we walk down the overgrown game trail. The heavy clouds which threaten rain create gloomy shadows beneath the gnarled boughs. We make our way through the woods and into the small vale sheltering the Grand Lodge. It's a wide clearing of trees containing low wooden buildings constructed in neat rows. Campfires blaze in pits near the middle of the open area, and everywhere else I look I can see green-coated rangers going about various chores or training regiments. The entire place has the feel of a well-organized war camp. As we approach the lodge, looking for something to occupy our time, one of the rangers quickly appropriates us. The sandy-bearded man in charge of the lumber yard hands each of us an axe and sets us to the task of chopping wood, gesturing to a large pile of logs at the edge of the compound. I can hear Talon grumbling under his breath while I follow him to the logs. As I set about our task, I let the labor-intensive work take my mind off my present troubles. I lose myself in the repetitive motion, and neither Talon nor I make any attempts to converse as we work on splitting timber. Lift, set, chop, repeat. It feels good to move and make myself useful. With Elias gone, the days seem to drag on forever. I lose track of time, cleaving log after log, only pausing to wipe my brow and to take a drink from the nearby water barrel. Exerting myself as I am, it's easy to forget the chill of autumn as I constantly hack away at the lumber with my axe. Eventually, someone calls my name from behind, which forces me to look up from my labor. One of the lodge's rangers, a man named Corin, gestures at a tall, well-muscled man in red livery, who makes his way toward me, crossing the lumberyard quickly with the aid of his long legs. I take note of his dour expression and clean-shaven face. Resting the half of the axe on my shoulder, I glance upward as I wait for the newcomer to reach me. Light, I think to myself, noticing the darkened sky. How long have I been at this? The man stops before me, and I recognize the roaring lion of Tarsus embroidered on his uniform. The royal seal.
Owen Lund, the man asks, his voice deep and his accent refined.
He has an angular face that reminds me of a hawk.
I am Owen, I reply gruffly. I can hear Talon stepping up behind me.
The man reaches into a pouch on his belt and pulls out a sealed letter, handing it over to me with a black-gloved hand.
I was told to deliver this to you. It's a written summons from the capital.
I frown at the man, then reach forward, accepting the letter and breaking the red wax seal.
Come find me when you're ready to go, the stranger continues.
He speaks with a self-important air, like a man accustomed to being obeyed.
I'll be at the mess hall getting some food. We need to speak about travel arrangements as well as what will be expected of you.
He promptly turns around and departs, his posture straight-backed as he walks toward the lodge with his chin held high.
Travel arrangements? I murmur as I begin skimming the letter.
Apprentice Owen Lund, His Majesty, King Gregor Æthelgar, Lord Regent of Tarsus and High Ruler of Tarsinium, requests your immediate presence at his royal court in Tarsus. A servant of the realm has been sent to escort you from the Grand Lodge to the capital. You are to obey him as you would your own master, as he carries with him the authority of the royal family. Make no delay. Your presence in Tarsus is of the utmost importance. Leela Olsen, Head Stewardess of the Crown.
That man wears the colors of the king, Talon remarks, stepping up beside me.
He cranes his neck to look at the letter, eagerness creeping into his voice.
What does it say?
My mouth goes dry as I finish reading the finely written words. I look up at him, my eyebrows knitting together with concern.
It's from the royal palace, I reply uneasily,
folding the letter back up, but not before two heavy raindrops splash across the paper, smearing some of the ink.
The king has requested an audience with me.